We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day and welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you are here. We are brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Always glad to have you on board today as we continue to get you ready for the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. That is coming up on Sunday. Had a great time last night at the Red Zone on South Howell. Next Thursday night, 6 to 8, right here on many of these same stations, we are going to be at Who's on Third. Who's on Third on North 3rd Street in Milwaukee. And we're going to look forward to another Bill Michaels huddle going out that night. So I wanted to let you know, put it on your calendar. Hope to see you out there next Thursday night at Who's on Third on North 3rd Street in Milwaukee. Let's bring in Paul Emmig, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emmig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emmig, our Green and Gold analyst, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how are you feeling about this contest coming up?
From a Packers perspective, feeling quite confident. I don't know I think we all share the opinion that Dalvin Cook is a monster and perhaps approaching, you know, top three running back in the league territory already as he gets further removed from that torn ACL that set him back, obviously, for about a year. But with Kirk Cousins being Kirk Cousins, and yes, Thielen and Diggs are great, have both had their share of taking advantage of the Packers in recent years. But the way I feel about Green Bay's defense right now, and I haven't even talked about the offense, right? Because that is at least one game in, and based on what I thought was going to happen this season, the Packers' offense is almost secondary in my mind. I don't see Green Bay's defense at home coming off the game that they did, you know, giving up big point totals to Minnesota. So I feel this is a game the Packers should win.
Packers have scored 23 or more points in 11 of the last 13 home games against Minnesota. Do you think this offense has 23 or more points in them this time?
Green Bay's offense having 23 or more in them?
Yep.
No, I don't. I need to see it first. We saw an offense last week that, yeah, the second half, they kind of started to see it a little bit, and obviously the majority of the Packers' production came on that one drive, of course, where they scored the touchdown. They need to, you know, feature Aaron Jones more. They need to block better. The Bakhtiari injury, while it looks like he will play and is practicing today, is concerning, you know, because even if he's 80-ish percent, that's a big setback. But, you know, Bill, I believe that Rodgers will continue to get better as the weeks go on, not just because they faced, you know, perhaps the league's best defense in week one, one of the league's top 3 to 5 defenses in week two. And depending on how Denver shakes out with Von Miller, I mean, and a defensive-minded head coach in Fangio in week three, that should be a really tough contest as well. So I think it's going to take a while for Rodgers to really get going, coupled by the fact, not just because of the defenses they're playing, but also just because of the fact that he has not really played a lot of football. He didn't play any preseason football. He missed some training camp and everything because of the injury. You know, he needs to get rhythm back. And it's hard to get rhythm back against Chicago's defense, Minnesota's defense, Denver's defense. So I see the offense taking a little bit to get going. I think that's the expectation. I think that's what a big reason for Brian Gutekunst featuring and focusing on the defense in the offseason with three high-priced free agents, with the two first-round draft picks. I think, Bill, for at least the first quarter turn of the season, I'm expecting a very defensive-minded, defensive-first, winning games because of defense football team. So 23 or more against Minnesota in week two, coming off of what I saw in week one from the Packers offense. I'm not saying it's not possible, but it would surprise me if they put up, you know, 24 or more.
I had posed the question a little bit on Wednesday, and it was met with a lot of harsh criticism. Now, I am not in any way, shape, or form kind of throwing in the towel on Aaron Rodgers. Not at all. All I said was, looking at his season last year and looking at a couple of the throws that were just un-Aaron Rodgers-esque in the game against the Bears, as many people have started to email me, is this just simply post-collarbone break Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I don't know. I mean, how much of that Carolina Panthers game did you watch last night?
That was ugly.
I mean, I bring it up specifically because, I mean, 3-4 years ago, I would have never told you that Cam Newton would be like the train wreck that I saw last night. Yeah,
he's awful. I have no idea what kind of a cliff he fell off of. But when that man is more, and I know people get pissed at me when I do this, but when that man is more concerned about, seemingly anyway, concerned about his looks and his outlandish appearance at every post-game press conference versus actually playing football well, when that is your number one thing that you're known for now, you've fallen off the cliff. You've jumped the shark, and to me, he's on the backside of his career very quickly.
Yeah, and so I think just from a purely football perspective, he has clearly taken big steps back. He's gotten hit a lot over the years in Carolina. I mean, he's taken a lot of hits, and sometimes, you know, quarterback is the most sustainable position. It's why, you know, it's why teams are, you know, usually skittish to do too much with a running back high in the draft and spend too much on a running back in free agency, just because those guys, they wear out quickly. Well, quarterbacks have the most durability, sustainability. They get to wear the red jerseys in practice. You know, they have every rule in the NFL rule book there to protect them to not get hurt, because that's what a lot of NFL fans tuning in on Sundays and Thursdays and Mondays want to see, is the quarterback and explosive offense. So I bring up Cam Newton only in the sense that I wouldn't have told you a few years ago that, you know, he was going to start to hit the downside of his career. And I don't believe that's true with Rodgers, you know, but when injuries start to pile up on any professional athlete, I mean, it does become more challenging. Now, Rodgers and the way he plays quarterback, there's more to him. There's so much more to him than like the extended plays and, you know, the athleticism, and that those have been things that have been really great about his career. And I think when we see his Hall of Fame video package, you're going to see the 6-second, 7-second, 8-second plays that lead to long passes, and they're going to show his Hail Marys and everything else like that. The reason I don't think Rodgers, what we saw last week, is going to be Rodgers going forward. Now, again, Bill, it might take a few weeks. I'm not saying like all Rodgers needed was one tune-up game. He might need 3 tune-up games, you know, and really pretty much treating September as, you know, an adjusted preseason, except a preseason where wins and losses matter. I think it could take a little while, but I just don't think that what we saw last week will be permanent Rodgers. So, but is he the same guy he used to be? No. I mean, that's why I strongly believe in. And, you know, sort of one of the Twitter videos that we talked about earlier this week that has kind of gone viral with him turning down the shorter passes. I think as he becomes more acclimated in the Matt LaFleur offense, he's going to take, you would assume, I would assume, as a very smart quarterback that he is, he's going to start taking those more. And I think when he does, not only will it extend his career, but it'll make him play like an elite quarterback for much longer, rather than perhaps trying to do some of the stuff that he did so successfully 3 to 5 years ago before those injuries kind of started to take their toll. So long with the way of saying, give him time, but does this mean he's 30-year-old Rodgers anymore? I mean, no, I'm not sure that guy will come back, but he doesn't need to come back. I mean, Tom Brady's 42 and crushing it. So it's like, you know, Sunday Night Football, the best player on the field is a 42-year-old against the Steelers. So I think as long as he accepts the sort of the age curve of it, he'll, you know, might take a few weeks, but I fully expect to see a player who will be much better than what he was in Chicago.
I agree with you. I will say this, though, and we're talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, but when you talk about the pay and what you're paying him to be, you are paying him to be 30-year-old Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're right.
Yeah.
The best player on the field was Tom Brady the other night. The best player on the field for the Green Bay Packers was not Aaron Rodgers in that game against the Chicago Bears.
No, he probably didn't crack the top 8 of the best Packers on the field that night.
Now, correct.
you know, you can go back to the contract and when Brian Gutekunst gave it to him and everything else. It's kind of a funky situation. But, and this is not to, like, excuse it, because I still think it was a weird decision from a timing perspective with that contract at the time. But when I see Jared Goff, like, get the kind of money he did, and Goff is fine. I mean, he should give half his paycheck to Sean McVay just as, like, a thank you for, you know, because when Goff was with Jeff Fisher, man, like, Goff was brutal. There's a lot of things a head coach and an offensive play caller can do to make a quarterback look good. So I've kind of accepted at this point, Bill, that every quarterback is going to get just some bonkers, crazy, stupid contract that they aren't really worth that much to the team. Because every time there's a new one, it's like, huh? Like 160 mil for Goff? And, you know, in a couple years, Bears fans might, you know, cringe at it, but at some point, Trubisky is going to have a triple-digit million, you know, type of contract. I wouldn't doubt. Even if he continues to just be marginal, he's still going to get that money because he's a young quarterback with some level of, you know, ability. So, yeah, QB contracts are always nuts, and it's kind of hard to justify them in the grand scheme of, you know, the NFL salary cap.
Paul, before I let you go, who wins this one and why?
Yeah, I mean, I thought last Thursday was going to be a low-scoring Packers win. I think this is going to be a low-scoring Packers win. If Chicago's defense is as good as we think it is, and I believe it is, if Green Bay's defense that they showed in Week 1 is going to be as good as it is, if Minnesota's defense that they showed against Atlanta is, I mean, you might have three of the top 10 defenses in the NFL all in one division. That's very well possible. So for a while here, especially early in the season, I'm expecting lower scoring games. But the way that I saw Green Bay's defense play, and I know for some people that was like, yeah, but it was Trubisky, and, you know, he threw the ball 45 times, and I get that. And Delvin Cook, who was going to probably be fed the ball, you know, whether through running it or short passes, 20, 25 times, if Minnesota has its way, at least that's what Delvin Cook will be featured as. You know, I don't know if they're going to only have to have Cousins throw it 10 times again like they did in Week 1, because that's a pretty extremely...
I can't imagine that, but I agree with you, yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, if he throws it 10 times again, Bill, the Packers lose. Like, that's, you know, you kind of like what Tremont Williams said about Trubisky, we just needed Mitch to play quarterback. They just need Cousins to play quarterback, because if he's playing quarterback, that means Delvin Cook's not playing running back, or at least not being given the ball as a running back. So, again, I kind of need to see it to believe it for the Packers offense to prove me that, you know, there's something more there. The Packers defense has given me no reason to think that they can't hold that group below 17 points on Sunday, especially at Lambeau Field. So, yeah, I'm going to go 20-13 Green Bay.
2013 Packers, you're on the record, Paul. We'll talk again on Monday, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, Bill, 2 seconds. Have you hit on Minka Fitzpatrick at all today?
I have not. Feel free.
Let me give you a quick summary here. So, you know, pretty much every good Miami Dolphins player said after Week 1, trade me now, please.
Right.
Minka Fitzpatrick is at the top of that list. For people that might remember, he was the 11th overall pick in last year's draft. He's 22 years old now. As a 21-year-old rookie, he was the best slot corner in the NFL. Okay, as a rookie at age 21, the best slot corner in the NFL, the Packers are reportedly one of five teams involved in trade discussions. Again, he's a slot corner, so whose spot does he take? Not Alexander's, not Kevin King's, but Tremont Williams, who's not only 36,
yeah,
but he's also
right
on the last year of his contract. So when I saw this, Bill, and I kind of had to dig a lot deeper into Minka Fitzpatrick, my goodness, if you add him to that secondary, which, again, this isn't just like speculate. Like, if this was Ted Thompson, we'd be like, why are we even wasting our breath? Why are we even talking about this? But Gutekunst offered 2 firsts for Khalil Mack and didn't get him. He now has this great defense on his hands. You have Fitzpatrick under control for 4 more years as a 22-year-old rookie slot corner. Can you imagine, like, if you added a 22-year-old premier, best-in-the-league slot corner to complement with Alexander on one edge, with Kevin King on another edge, behind him with Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos, you might have the best damn secondary in the league if that was to happen. So,
right.
Run the Fitzpatrick hype train, because if that happens, Bill, we can stop saying top 10 defense and we can start talking top 5. Because that's,
I would love to see them trade for Minka Fitzpatrick. I just don't know. That's a whole. We were talking about that earlier. Somebody had tweeted me and I said, did they go after Fitzpatrick? And I don't think they do. I'd love to see it, but I just – how that then would – I would love to see how Mike Pettine would say, or what he would be salivating over if indeed that was a true possibility. You know what I mean? That true possibility for him. Paul, we're extremely late, but that's that's something that definitely we're going to discuss. Appreciate it, pal, okay?
Talk to you soon.
There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. When we come back, got some people on hold. Stay tuned. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this. Dang, if you remember the songs there of Eddie Money. Eddie Money passing away today at the age of 70. He had been suffering from the effects of cancer for quite some time, and today succumbing to the disease. Yeah, man, you got to think at some point they're going to eradicate cancer, right? I mean, I know there's, the popular thought is that they've already found the cure. They just don't want to, you know, cure it because all of the cancer clinics throughout the country will suddenly be out of business. But, man, it just keeps going on and on and on, unfortunately. But Eddie Money passing away at the age of 70. The age of 70. So, excuse me. When you go through, when you go through his song list, holy mackerel, he had a lot of hits. He had Take Me Home Tonight, Shaken, Two Tickets to Paradise, I Want to Go Back, you hear that right there. Go back to 77, it was Baby Hold On to Me, Give Me Some Water, Think I'm in Love, Walk on Water, which was a big hit back in 1988. God, I Will Be Strong, She Takes My Breath Away, We Should Be Sleeping. It's just, you can go on and on and on. I mean, he had a boatload of hits. Endless Nights, Peace in Our Time, You've Really Got a Hold on Me. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Rock and Roll the Place, Satin Angel, Get a Move On. Jealousies. There's so much. I'm just trying to go through all my Eddie Money history in my head here, but there's just so many hits that guy had. So Eddie Money passing away today at the age of 70. Let's do this. Let's get back to the phone calls. And before we get to Eric Brancheck, the Green Bay Press Gazette, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, this portion of the program, by the way, being brought to you by our good friends over there at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, it's where they believe in better at Cousin Subs. Don't forget, they can put you on the 50-yard line of Lambeau Field. Just go to Packers.com/best seats. That's Packers.com/best seats. And that would be compliments of Cousin Subs. You can do it daily all the way through December 8th. For all the rules, regulations, again, go to Packers.com/best seats. Brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Let's go to Pete listening to us on the north side of Milwaukee. Pete, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Excellent show, as always.
Appreciate it.
I want to get your opinion on, I think that what's going to prove it for me for this game is this. Please do not defer. We got the defense. I want to see us take the ball first, okay? The first three series of this game is going to tell me a lot about where Aaron Rodgers and the team is at. Will they be able to stick to the run or not? Will we be committed to the checkdown? But the main thing is do not defer. Just go right ahead and just let the offense go out there, do what they need to do, and that way Aaron can just get the jitters or whatever out of the system. Now, I'm thinking more of, as far as the final score, I'm thinking 24-13 because I believe Aaron has an ace up his sleeve. The reason I'm saying that, and I'll hang up to listen, is that Aaron knows big games. Like we talked about before, I'm a long-life Packer fan all my life. I'm 50 years old. Is that Aaron knows big games. For them to go down there to get a win on that big stage on Thursday like that, that's not a walk in the park. People are saying, oh, Packers going to lose 24-something, whatever. I took the Packers naturally because I know what we're capable of doing. Now, what the caveat's going to be is take the ball first three series, if he can stay committed. And just tell me your thoughts and opinions on that. But that's my take. But thank you for your show.
All right, appreciate it, man. He drops off, you get on board, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Say Aaron Rodgers would have something up his sleeve. You know what I mean? Something up his sleeve. I'm kind of wondering what that might be. I actually had people insinuate that the Packers were sandbagging the Bears as they believe that the Vikings are a better team as to not to show anything on film to Mike Zimmer to defend against. I don't think so. Okay, I think the Packers wanted to come out and make a statement. I think they just stumbled badly. So to say Aaron Rodgers might have something up his sleeve, I think the only thing they have up their sleeve is actually cohesiveness and getting this thing going in a rhythm. Because the last time the Packers were really able to grind out a drive, you know what I mean? 5 yards here, 7 yards here, first down. 5 yards here, 3 yards here, first down on a quick pass play. You know, run the ball up the gut for 4 yards. Next possession, you know, you got 3-4 yards. You got third and short. Grind it out. Get another one. You know, a long drive, you know, 10 or 12 plays, 70 yards, touchdown. The last it's hard. That's hard. That's not the way the Packers have done it in recent history. Let's go to Nate listening to us in Racine. Nate, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Bill. Great show.
What's up?
Hey, so I myself, I don't buy the idea that Aaron Rodgers' skills are diminishing, like speed on the field or arm strength. I just don't buy it. With these modern training regimens, these guys can actually increase their arm strength as their careers go on. Breeze has talked about how he's throwing as strong as he ever has. Tom Brady posted something showing that he is throwing harder than Pat Mahomes did during the NFL Combine. So these guys, they know how to train, and Aaron Rodgers sees what these other top quarterbacks like a Brady or a Breeze are doing around him. I think he also even trains with Breeze during the offseason. So I just don't buy it. I know he had that throw to Scantling. People look at it and go, oh, he really had to sail that pass up there to get it there. But if you look at that, I think Scantling got behind the defense. He wasn't expecting necessarily to make that throw, and he didn't really step into it. So the idea of like, well, that throw to Scantling, that's Aaron Rodgers' max arm strength, I just don't see it. I think, you know, I don't think that's the reason these guys have to come off the field, because they can't throw a 15-yard out anymore. You know, I think there's other – they just take too much of a beating. You know, that's why at 40, 41 they have to go. But yeah, I just don't buy. I think you'll see Aaron Rodgers still be able to make all those throws. I think he could still throw a 60-yard Hail Mary. I just don't see his arm strength being an issue myself.
I appreciate the phone call. Now, when we talk about the arm strength, I agree with you that the training regimen, everything that quarterbacks go through in today's day and age, they have extended the life of a quarterback from about 35 up to about 43, okay? No doubt. But those quarterbacks you mentioned have not gone through a collarbone break. So, I am not right now sitting here saying that there's issues with Aaron Rodgers, because I'm going to allow the remainder of, say, the first half of the season to kind of play out. But if you have more inaccurate passes, more Hail Marys that don't make it to the end zone unless he's sitting from his own 20, excuse me, if you have more passes to open receivers deep downfield that don't get there, that question is going to be a natural question that's going to come up. I don't think you can ignore it. This is a guy that used to be able to flick it 50 yards from his knees. So when you have a pass to Marquez Valdes-Scantling in a pretty decent environment, it wasn't like it was windy or blowing in his face or anything, and it comes up a little bit short, okay, I'll take your scenario. Maybe he didn't expect him to get that open, that deep, that far behind the coverage. Okay, no doubt about it. I'll take it for what it is. We just don't – it's just something you're not used to seeing out of Aaron Rodgers. The eyeball test tells you something just a little off, just a little off. When we come back, we'll ask Eric Brancheck at the Green Bay Press-Gazette that exact question. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. And at Quick Trip right now, I've been telling you today, the cookie's 4 for $1. That's it. Go into Quick Trip, use your Quick Rewards card, you're good to go. Plus, you can get entered for the Packers opening drive contest over at Quick Trip. See store for details. You can get some game tickets. You get $25 for every yard picked up on the opening drive, plus bonus cash for a field goal or a touchdown. That is all from our friends over there at Quick Trip. Stop in and tell them we said hi. Love Quick Trip. Love it. Eric Brancheck, Green Bay Press-Gazette, joining us next on The Bill Michaels Show.
He's a great coach. I have a ton of respect for Mike Zimmer, what he's done in this league. I love his demeanor. I have a lot of respect for him and the way that him and his staff have gone about their business over the years. He obviously presents a really difficult challenge, and an even greater challenge when you look at the personnel he's got to work with, the number of Pro Bowlers on that side of the ball. And you know, it's a tough week. You definitely think about all the different things they can do.
Those are the words of Aaron Rodgers. Welcome back to the program. I'm Bill Michaels. It's the Bill Michaels Show. We are glad to have you. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at the Biofuels Association. If you got a vehicle 2001 or newer, you can probably get yourself some unleaded 88. Save yourself a little pain at the pump. If you want all the facts, go to wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org and see for yourself. If you own a flex fuel vehicle, you already know what I'm talking about. I went this morning. I was dropping the kids off to school, and before I head up to Green Bay, I had to fill up, stopped at Quick Trip. Unleaded 88, filled it up, good to go, save 5 cents a gallon off of the regular unleaded, and it doesn't change anything in my vehicle. It's good stuff, and I've got a 2008 and a 2019. I run it in both of them. It's fantastic, and if you want all the facts, everything there is to know about the Biofuels Association, go to wibiofuels.org. That's wibiofuels.org, and keep the money here in the state of Wisconsin with the corn growers and with those, you know, brothers and sisters that work at the biofuels plants as well that convert that stuff to ethanol for us. So we appreciate that as well. Eric Brandcheck of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eric, the Packers, and I asked Paul this, I'll ask you. The Packers in 11 of the last 13 games have scored 23 or more points in a game against the Vikings at Lambeau Field. After what you saw on Thursday night, is this offense going to put up more than 23?
If I had my crystal ball, I'm sure it would be cracked and cloudy after asking it that question. I would say, you know, coming out of the chute the way they did in Chicago, I would say – it's going to be tough. Now, you saw, or at least you could see some of the pieces of this thing the way it is. You can see the progression, the play progression, you know, when I'm, you know, plays to set up plays, et cetera, and the motions and all that stuff. I like the basically, if you had to look at this offense, I call it the West Coast 2.0 because it's really the old-fashioned Bill Walsh, San Francisco 49ers, West Coast offense, just juiced up for 2019. I mean, that's really what it is. There's a lot of motions, the use of fullback, they got tight ends in play, double tight ends, sets, a lot of that stuff. So there's a lot there that's very, very West Coast-ish style, but just juiced up for today's league. And it's a sound system. And I think that they're probably one player away from really being really good.
So what player would that be, do you think?
Someone that's going to tote the rock. They're going to need a big-time running back at some point. I don't think that with the running backs that they currently have, that they need a running back, and that's what's going to make the offense go.
When we were talking about Aaron Rodgers before, and – look, the criticism started to come out fast and furious after the game against the Bears. And on one hand, there's the side of, well, it's the Bears, and that's the best front seven in football, and you're not going to do much against them anyway. And then the other side says, we're just making excuses. Aaron Rodgers didn't play great, said he didn't need all the extra time, and he hasn't looked good for really since before he broke the collarbone. Which side of the fence do you fall upon?
I think the first part, where, you know what, I think they're healthy. I think there's things there that are gonna be okay. I don't think it's we're not seeing a decline in Rodgers before or after any of the injuries. I would say to me, he looks like he's in tremendous shape, and I think that. It just looks like they're just not familiar with the offense, and I think they need to, you know, lesson be learned. They probably needed to get out there and do some stuff in the preseason. I've always been that way, though, about the preseason. You know, they're going to look – I still think week six is the number, is the date that that you can say this offense is going on the right track or this offense is not hitting on the right track and needs to get, you know, get some more juice. But – I really believe, looking at it and looking what I saw, just the one sample size, that the running backs, either the guys that are out there got to turn it up a notch, or they need to find a better one.
The offense, we know, didn't perform well. People seem to think that it's going to click. This is the week that things are going to begin to take off. You face a really good defense coming up this weekend again in Minnesota. Now, I got into this discussion yesterday, and again, I'm not sitting here throwing darts at the Packers because I'm trying to look at this reality-wise. Is it making excuses to say, well, they're playing good defenses? Because if you're a good offense, you should be at least able to go toe-to-toe with a good defense. And my question is, are we making excuses so that we can justify a bad offensive performance?
Yes, because what did they do last year against the vaunted Bears defense? Week one, they beat them. They scored a bunch of points. They scored a bunch of points against the Vikings, especially at Lambeau. So, there's excuses being made. You don't expect that type of performance with Aaron Rodgers, holding the ball. And I just don't understand why you can make that excuse while they're playing a good defense, blah, blah. That isn't it. It takes time for an offense. A defense is completely different. A defense can come out of the chute hot. There's not as much timing. There's not flow. You don't have to worry about calling 100. You look at Mike Pettine's play calling sheet. He doesn't have it. It's 1/8 the size of the floors. So there's a lot there. And calling plays is an art. And it's an art by what you have on the field and what you want to do and what you've seen in the film room. It's a lot of, it's a game of chess, and it's going to take some time for that offense to mature and for the play caller to kind of get things going and understand the guys who are on the field, what plays work, what plays don't work, what are their true capabilities. Is the offensive tackle, is he going to be able to reach this guy, or is he not going to be able to reach him, and we're going to run inside him? There's all of that stuff. That's a lot of moving parts for anybody, much less a brand new coach who's with a new system, putting in his system, but new personnel, new division. He was not in the NFC North, so looking at these things, it's going to take a little bit of time. So for people to think that, week two, you're going to score them out, score 30-some points, and if they don't, you're disappointed. I don't think that's the case. I think really it's week six, week seven, when some of the things, the foundation has been laid, and now we can come out and put and get a good feeling of how to call plays, what are the plays the quarterback likes, what are the plays the line is good at. All these moving parts should start coming together, but there's no possible way that it's going to come together in 1 week. It's too difficult. It's too much.
Talking with Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette, do you become then a believer? I mean, because that was a tremendous defensive output and performance against the Bears on Thursday night. So my question, but people want to say, well, it was Mitch Trubisky. I personally think that the Packers dictated everything when it came to that defensive performance. Do you then, or should people become big-time believers if they really stymie this particular group of offensive wide receivers, a pretty good quarterback, a good tight end, a really good running back, and an upgraded offensive line?
Well, okay. Literally, you just said a whole lot of stuff there, so I'm going to break it down into my simpleton mind. Here's how I look at it. If you have a new quarterback or if you have a new system, a young quarterback, the best thing that you can do is give that quarterback a good defense. The offense, we know the offense is going to take a little bit of time, so I think the way that they put this team together to have a really solid defense, and I've been saying this since January, if the Packers are going to make the playoffs, if they're going to have a winning record, it's going to be the defense that gets them through the first half of the season, because the offense is going to take some time to get cooking and get rolling. And that's exactly what they did. And they got the quarterback off the spot. They shut down the run game. And by golly, those two cornerbacks, when King is in the game and Jair Alexander is in the game, and now you've got Tremont Williams at the slot and those two safeties, that is a very, very formidable defense. And those two cornerbacks have a little bit different skills between the two of them. But so you look at Kevin King, not only is Kevin King a guy that's a great cover guy, he's got length, he's got leverage. Sometimes he messes up a little bit and gets in position or in a bad position. But you know what you saw? He got a sack. And it wasn't a blitz. It was cornerback was running and he going for the sticks and he went and got him. That's explosive movement that not everybody has. Not every human being is blessed with that. And with Jair Alexander, just the complete quintessential competitor, competing on every single play. Every ball goes his way. Even if the guy catches it, he is in the guy's hip. Can't teach that stuff that you can either do it or you can't do it. And they got the two safeties back there, which I believe is a huge upgrade over the two safeties that they marched out on the field last year. Not only you get some coverage ability, but you got two guys that aren't afraid to go mix it up. You know, a lot of people on that one third down and one play with Cordero carrying the ball, and you know everybody's excited about Kenny Clark. You know who was right next to him? Amos.
Yeah, I was going to say Adrian Amos.
Was in the backfield. I mean, that's amazing stuff, and that's how you draw it up. And I think again for this team to be successful, if they want to get to the playoffs, they're going to have to lean on that defense. And right now, I think that defense is pretty sound.
Real quick, in a matter of about 20 seconds, who wins this one?
Oh, God. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say the Packers are going to win it, and it's going to be 14-7, something like that, or 17-14, somewhere in that range.
That'll be a dogfight. Eric, always good. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, we'll see you Sunday.
Appreciate it, absolutely. There you go. Eric Brandcheck of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. When we come back, we got some Neumel Heads-Up Plays of the Week coming up. And don't forget the Lodge Cola kickoff coming up tonight. Adrian Amos, live and in person, going to be joining us this evening. And I'll be heading up to Green Bay here shortly, but looking forward to it. Hopefully you make it over to the Lodge Cola this evening as we do a little wine tasting. We do a little fireside chat. Adrian Amos being our guest, looking forward to it. That is the Lodge Cola kickoff coming up tonight. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Green Bay Packers news flash. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers practice outdoors, getting ready for Sunday's game against the Vikings. Left tackle David Bakhtiari did not practice. The injury report has Bakhtiari down with a back injury. Will he play Sunday? Packers head coach Matt LaFleur had only this to say.
Well, I'm not going to get into the injuries anymore, so you guys see the report.
Packers president Mark Murphy is promising new ways to get the Packers fans louder at Lambeau Field during home games. What did the players think? Quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's great. You know, my only ask is that we don't do the wave when we're on offense. Other than that, man, be as loud as you want, you know, from the start. Hopefully nobody, you know, says sit down. Anybody, I've heard that from time to time. Somebody standing up, somebody else tells them to sit down. But we'd love everybody to get up and be as loud as possible from the start. We need it. We've been rolling here over the years in stretches, and it's a tough place to play, especially late in the season. I love the lights dimmed, you know, for night games. Hopefully we can get that, you know, in week four. But, yeah, we got a great home field advantage, a great fan base, and the louder the better.
Matt LaFleur said he liked things like the air raid siren and pregame buildup the Bears put on last week at Soldier Field.
Anybody that was there last week in Chicago could feel that. You could feel that from the opening, from pregame. It felt like it had a playoff type feel to it. The fans were into it. They sang the national anthem. They're screaming their head off the whole time for 2 minutes or whatever it was. So we knew that type of environment, it's challenging on offenses, and that's what we want to get here. And we want our fans to stand up and get loud and support our players.
Of course, the Bears fans also booed their team for much of the second half. In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Thank you, Michael. Always good stuff. And now, time now for the Neumel Heads-Up Plays of the Week. We've got some baseball to talk about, right? I mean, the Brewers, they're on this win streak right now. They're getting it done. Tyler Austin, that big three-run shot against the Cubs. Here it is.
Swing and a drive in the left center field. Schwarber is back, and Tyler Austin with a three-run home run. 6-3, Milwaukee.
How does it get much bigger than that? Here you go, number two, Radio Joe Zanzola.
All these highlights courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. How about Yasmani Grandal with that missile against the Miami Marlins?
Grandal sends one way back. How far is this one going to fly? Oh, my goodness. Yasmani Grandal with a mammoth home run. Number 26. It's a two-run blast, and it's 8-3 Milwaukee. Holy smokes. That's as far as I've seen him hit one.
And then there's number three. You're getting contributions from everybody. Hernan Perez, he goes yard against the Marlins.
And now Perez sends one deep to left. That is way back, and she's gone. Hernan Perez with a two-run blast. What a lightning strike off the bat of Hernan Perez, number seven on the year. And the Brewers, with two outs, get a quick two on the board, courtesy of their shortstop.
There you go. That is B.A., Brian Anderson, Bill Schroeder and company, and that is Fox Sports Wisconsin in the broadcast and the call, and always good. That is brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical. Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED with a 98% success rate all over the state. The medical experts, you need to call them, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. We are not done yet. Coming up, we have some buy or sell right around the corner. We got to get into that. And then our buddy Mike Clemens, our Greeny Gold insider, he's going to roll us through the next hour. We're going to talk a lot of Packers football with him as well. Speaking of Packers football, after the game coming up on Sunday, download the radio.com app. Get ready for Gary and I. You got to favorite us, but get ready for Gary and I. We're going to break it down. It's the Green and Gold postgame show. If you're in Green Bay, come on over to Hinterland. It's in the Titletown District. We're going to see you over there. We do the postgame show live from Hinterland after each and every home game. But if you can't be there, make sure you download the radio.com app. And that way, when we go on the air, you know about it first. You can chime in. You can be a part of the program and give us your thoughts, whether it's via phone, email, tweet, whatever it happens to be. Chime in. That is the Green and Gold postgame show coming up immediately following Green Bay and Minnesota this coming Sunday and after each and every home game. We have got heads up, or excuse me, buy and sell coming up next, and then Mike Clemens right after this on the Bill Michaels Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.